and it can just heal their heart in a second. And yeah, anyway, can I just share like a couple tangible, like real stories? Yeah, anyway. Yeah, well, that was a borrowed testimony. That one, it's part of my story, but it's not totally my story. So now I'll share some from my story. Just after New Year's, I was spending time with God, and I have approval to share this story. I asked for permission. So anyway, I don't know if any of you know Anna Ivascavage. She's amazing. She's a sweet lady. And I know her, but she's not a really close friend. I worked with her mom and when I was working at the Book Nook years ago and got to know her. She was a regular customer, and so we've kept in touch on Facebook. But anyway, I was spending time with God, and she just kept coming to mind. And so I thought, okay, well, I don't usually think of her, so his voice is quiet, too. I heard someone say recently, like, a father can speak with just a look. And so sometimes we hold back and we wait for, you know, the trumpet sound and this, the voice of the Lord. No. It's a nudge, it's a whisper, it's a thought. You just tune in and walk with him. And it's intimate, it's relationship. And so anyway, it was unusual for Anna to come to mind, so I just paused and said, oh, okay, that's unusual. Do you have something you want to encourage her with, God? And so, yeah, he showed me this picture, and then I texted it to her, and I'll actually read it to you. So, yeah, we're just going to be totally real and vulnerable. So I said to her, Happy New Year, Anna. Yesterday, the Lord kept bringing you to mind, and I feel like he gave me a picture to encourage you with. I saw you sitting in your office, and it was quite dark until this glimmering glory cloud entered in and illuminated the room. I feel like this is going to be a year of encounter for you, and you'll experience the glory of his presence like never before. And anyway, then you need to be okay with the waiting. I know the first time I stepped out, it was just like the silence was deafening. And you feel so nervous and vulnerable once you put it out there. Be okay with it. If you don't hear back, you'll be okay. Just, yeah, it's, once you give it, it's his. It's his to sort out. Anyway, I did hear back from her, and she said, oh my goodness, Gail, you have no idea what this did for me. I've never been in such a dark place, faith-wise, and 2018 was a terrible year for us in nearly every way. We're going into 2019 empty. So many people are experiencing hardship, so I won't bore you with the details, but I'll just reiterate, your words are life to me today. I know you're so busy in your place of life and have taken the time to tell me this is incredible. We hardly ever see each other. Why does God choose who he does to minister to others? Who knows? But I pray that you'll be blessed for your obedience. I'm actually shaken to tears over this thing you shared. I was so down today and honestly not knowing how I will ramp up the enthusiasm to go to work again tomorrow and be a blessing, let alone have any hope for this new year. God bless. And I'm just like, that was so simple. And I had no idea what was going on in her life and her heart. And it's worth it. It's so worth it, guys. Yeah. Anyway, I'll just, can I just pray? Yeah. Paul's prayer, a blessing over everyone. Yeah. So God, I pray that from your glorious, unlimited resources, you will give everyone in here mighty inner strength through your Holy Spirit. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's so great, you'll never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, glory be to God. By his mighty power at work within us, he's able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever ask, dare, or hope. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you, Gail. When we hear stories from other people about how God is working in their lives, it's like the color commentary, isn't it? It helps us see more clearly that this is how God works. This is what he does and how good he is. You know, God's not limited. He is not limited. I've said this before. He's not limited by our imagination. He's not limited by what we think we know about God. He's only limited when we, in our lives, when we don't open up a little bit and give him room to work. And so I think that's one of the reasons when Jesus taught, he often said, if you have ears, hear. If you have ears, open them up. I've got something to say to you. And when he does, it's good. It's very good. I'm going to just share for a few moments this morning and then lead into just letting you know kind of where we're going to be going next in this next month. This last month, we've been looking at hearing God's voice. And as I've been doing my best to listen to God for the signals that come in through the Word and through people and everything else, I believe God is leading us into something that's connected with all of these things for the next little bit ahead, and I'll get to that in a few moments. But thank you again, ladies, for sharing some of these things. And those of you who have shared with me some of the things that God is sharing with you and how you're going to other people and testing the waters in these things, someone said not long ago that the more I do this person said, the more I get used to it. It's like exercising a muscle. We got to get stronger. And the more we do it, the stronger we become. And the more confident we become in hearing God's voice and then speaking it out appropriately for the sake of others, that we lift them up and encourage them. And I'll tell you, when different people have taken the risk to come to me and shared some thoughts or some pictures, or whether it's through an email or a phone call or coming up in person, every time it's been apt. It's been, oh yeah, yeah, no, totally, that makes sense to me. And it's usually an encouragement to something I'm about to step into and work through, you know, either personally or for the sake of the church. And that's how God works, with hearing his voice. When we speak it towards others, good things happen. We're going to be looking towards 2 Peter chapter 1 in just a few moments. But 2 Peter chapter 1 came out of a dream I had a week ago. And I'm not a guy that gets dreams. You know, I had a dream about a fellow pastor one time, and it was very clear. And the details in it, I believe, spoke to something that he had been going through. And so I shared that dream with him, and I said, "Brother, you're the man of my dreams." He didn't look real impressed in the moment, but nonetheless. Anyways, so I woke up last Sunday morning before the church service here, and I dreamt during the night that I was back at Providence Seminary, back in Manitoba, where I had studied for master's for ministry. And in that dream, I had not fulfilled the requirements for a course, and so I was deficient for graduation. I wouldn't graduate. But I was already overwhelmed in the dream with the requirements of that course, along with everything else. As a father, a husband, working part-time, I thought, I can't do the requirements. I will be deficient. And so during this dream, I was deciding that I would just simply leave seminary at the end of that semester. I couldn't afford any more time, any more money to put into this. And I would just simply leave with that mark of deficiency and forfeit the degree I had been working towards. And so I had come to terms with moving forward with this deficiency forever on my record. And then I woke up. And as I pondered this dream from an awakened state, I realized that the dream from my actual seminary experience was certainly in order, or pardon me, in error, because I indeed fulfilled all of the requirements to earn the master's degree. I wasn't deficient after all, after having this dream. In fact, I had also added nearly 30 years of experience in pastoral ministry to that degree. Not that that means anything when God is going to move you into something new and fresh, but it's all preparation. Nonetheless, there has been a growing sense of deficiency for what is being required of me ministry-wise in these days. Anytime God is going to move you into new territory, most often you feel like you're in over your head. Like, what is going on? What just happened here? I thought I had the experience. I thought I had all the training necessary for what's coming up. Often, that's not true for any of us. And that's okay. That's good. Spiritually, and this is where God led me to 1 or 2 Peter. We'll get into this for a few moments. But spiritually, I have already inside my spirit everything I need for life and godliness. And so do you. Okay? You need to know that. You have already been given everything you need for life and godliness. It's resident. And part of it is unpacking it and walking into it and walking through it with God's help and His power. Any professional deficiencies that I may have can be obtained through continued personal growth. And same with you. How many of us have been back for a little bit of upgrading? Or we've taken another course, or we've gotten together with this person? We need to find those giant killers, those giant slayers that have been down the road so that we can hear from them and walk with them a little bit so that they can share their journey with us, so that we can start to put that mantle on as well and discover some new strengths. So any perceived deficiencies that I possess relative to what God is leading me into are merely that, perceptions. The greater reality is that God in His providence has already stacked the deck in favor, in my favor, by giving me His Spirit. And anything that God is leading you into, even though there's fear that comes in sometimes, insecurities, just like you were talking about, Gail, you're not sure if you can do this, God has already stacked the deck in your favor. So that every time you step out in faith and you pull a new card out, guess what? It's going to be the right card. The fun part is that sometimes we're not sure how to play that card. And that's where the awkwardness comes in. Sometimes it'll be with fear and trepidation, even as we step out. You know, the wavering, quavering voice, second-guessing ourselves, and all of those kinds of things. But I'll tell you something, if God's calling you into something, He's already stacked the deck in your favor. As you step, you pick up another card, and it'll be the right one, and it's a growth process in learning how to fill out what that looks like. And you know what? It is fun. Who wants to stay at home and just do the same old every day? Some of us might say, well, that's my comfort zone. But in reality, there's no growth that comes from that. My wife's father is going through a tough time. He's 91. He's lived a very full life. And now he's confined in a hospital. He can't walk on his own any longer. And frankly, he's losing his mind. And that's very difficult for family members. It's really hard. He's, I guess we could say he's going senile. Terry let me listen on a call yesterday that she was having with her dad on the phone. None of his thoughts were connected. None of them. None of them made sense whatsoever. It was his voice, and it was still a strong voice, but none of them made sense. You know something? He's confined to a place where it's same old, same old, same old for however many days God gives him yet. But until you and I are in that same spot, we can't settle for same old, same old, same old. We can't. There's so much more to come. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 21. Let me read this from the New Living Translation. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. And this is talking about an intimate knowing. In and through. He knows us, we know Him. Coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop, those who fail to upgrade, those who fail to better themselves and learn and try new things are short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, as I work through this passage, boy, there's a number of things there. May God give you more and more. That's literally talking about being multiplied, grace and peace, multiplied in abundance, more and more. To me, that's the picture of you can't live on yesterday's manna. Today's another day. Tomorrow's another day. We'll need a new load, a fresh load of grace and peace as we get into new things. You know, I'm usually not bothered by a whole lot. Fairly even keeled, but sometimes things weigh on my mind. Once in a while. There are people that are given to anxiety and worry, very rare has that been part of my life. I think sometimes Terry would wish I would worry a little more about some things, you know, like, hey, take a look at this. And nonetheless, once in a while, a little bit of worry smacks me, and I'm going, oh, man. And then I can't shake it. Get off. And then I start to think, that's what people carry with them a lot, many people. That's a difficult thing to carry. And it gives me a sense of, wow, How do we help folks get peace and not be stuck in anxiety and worry? And you know, that's a process where God needs to give us that. That's a gift. That's a product of knowing Him more and more and more. And then it says, by His divine power, by His ability, by His force, physical or moral, also including the miraculous, by His divine power, God, now listen to this, has given us everything we need for living a godly life. That's in the past tense. It's already been granted. It's already been bestowed. Someone has already clicked send, and it's in your bank account waiting. That divine power we need for living a godly life is already there to be cashed in moment by moment, day by day, as we need it. His presence and His power is there and available. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself, by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. You know something? God has called you to Himself. And you don't think, some folks don't think I have a very important testimony. Because I wasn't yanked out of the fires of hell. And, you know, I wasn't some criminal that God miraculously saved. And so, you know, I don't have such a great testimony. Never, ever discount how God brought you to Himself. Because, as the Scripture says here, it is it's His marvelous glory and excellence that did that. The marvelous glory of God has called you to Himself. Amen. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And because of that, He has given us great and precious promises. And these promises enable us to share, partake in the divine nature. In God's divine nature, it's given to us. The theological word is imputed. We don't deserve it, but it's given. It's poured out over us. And that helps us to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. And I think of my own life, how many times have I been sucked it back into some of the corrupt human desires, and I haven't cashed in on the glorious goodness of God to escape those things at times. In view of all this, make every effort. In other words, apply in diligence with zeal and carefulness and earnest care to respond to God's promises. Make every effort. Make every effort to cash in what God has put out there for us. All of Him is available for us right now, today. And for whatever situation you're sticking into, it's there. I love the idea. Have you ever pictured yourself being a marathon runner? And after the big one, what is it, 26 miles or something? You're at the head of the pack, and that ribbon is there. Chariots of Fire is going in your mind. Dun, 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 you know? And you're the first one to break that ribbon. I love that idea. But I've never run in a marathon. And those of you who have run in marathons, and I know that there's some here, you liked that idea at one time too, but that idea generated something within you. You realized that if you want to even show up and enter the marathon, you've got to go through quite a process ahead of time. It's really not a good idea if you've never done running before to decide, I'm going to run that marathon. Throw a pair of sneakers on that you just bought brand new and line up and give her like crazy. Probably in less than 100 yards, you will be flat on your face. and you'll already have blisters because you got your new sneakers. Your sneakers weren't worn in, your body wasn't used to it, your lungs didn't have the capacity to suck in all the air that you need, your muscles weren't used to it. There's a time of preparation. There's a cost. You like the idea of something, and as you reach for that, you need to let go of something else. Because it's going to require time, exercise, diligence, all of those kinds of things. Make every effort to respond to God's promises. Those of you, I would suppose, would be 100% women who have had babies. It also necessitates a time of preparation, right? You guess so. You find out you're pregnant. You get the pregnancy test back and you go, "Woo, I'm pregnant." Everything changes. Am I right, ladies? Your whole view changes. Because you know that generally 9 months down the road, there's going to be someone coming into your life that is going to change your life. And you can't do everything you used to do. It's a time of preparation. So you're carrying something, you're pregnant, and you're about to give birth. Now, you can laugh at this. I remember reading about this from Paul Yonggi Cho back in South Korea, how he said this to somebody, and people mocked him for a long time, because it kind of was funny. But I said this to somebody the other day. We took our staff out for lunch a week or so ago. And I just felt I needed to share something with our immediate staff. And I said, you know, we're going. God has us on a journey. He's preparing us for something. And I said, I've got to be really honest with you. I don't know how to say it other than this. I feel pregnant. I feel pregnant that myself and our whole church is about to give birth to something. And it's, I don't know, I've never been through this process before. And yet here we are. There's something that God has placed upon River Valley Community Church or within us as a congregation. Many people here have been praying for a sense of revival, an outpouring of God's Spirit, for years perhaps. And I've just been sensing that there's days when it's something is about to happen. Something is about to happen. I had someone call me a few weeks ago, and I've spent very little time talking with this person, but this person, when they sat down, said, every Sunday that we're here, it's like God is about to break open and do something. And it's good. And I'm saying, Lord, what is that? And I think this time of taking time to focus on hearing God's voice is essential for us. Because we've got to be hearing what God is saying to us in these days. And practicing taking what He's saying and sharing it appropriately. And being okay if sometimes there's awkwardness. You see, I like the idea of God's Holy Spirit being poured out on His church. I love the idea of people just being full of joy and enjoying the presence, the powerful presence of God. I love the idea of people coming to the altar and finding healing and deliverance and renewal. But in order to go from here to there is going to require process. And I think God is working in our hearts. Many, many of you are telling me that God is stirring, God is stirring, God is doing something. And I believe that is very, very true. And a couple of weeks ago, after the Sunday morning service here, I got in my truck and I'm driving home. And normally what I do is when I start driving, I start thinking and praying, Lord, how did it go today? Doesn't matter what I think at this moment, Lord, how did it go? Your people got together. Lord, what are your thoughts? And the one thought that came, many thoughts, but one of them came, Larry, it was a good morning. I loved being with all of you together this morning. Here's the next step for you. I am in the process of wanting to pour out my spirit over the church, over River Valley Community Church. And so you need to help, you as pastors and leaders in the church, need to help get our people spiritually fit. Spiritual fitness is going to be key. Because when I pour out my spirit, I want you to be able to carry what I'm going to give you. I want you to be able to steward well the opportunities and the challenges and my presence in a new way that maybe you've never experienced before, but you're going to have to get in shape. In other words, don't try and get into the marathon right now. Do the things that we know we need to be doing to generate spiritual fitness. Many of you have already been there. You've been there for years. You've been there. I think together we need to encourage each other towards spiritual fitness. And therefore, in these next few weeks, and in our preaching series and so forth, we're going to be talking about what does it look like? What, as we listen to God in these days, what does spiritual fitness look like for what He wants to do in our lives in these days? And you know what the fun part about that is? That it's not all about, okay, God's waiting. Okay, go. Get into spiritual shape. And I'm not moving a finger until you're 100% there. That's not it. God says, go to the weight room and start doing the little ones, but I'm going to be right there with you. And I'm going to be putting things on you. I'm going to be showing you things and leading you into opportunities all the way along. And He's already been doing that. But it's this thing about more and more grace and peace. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. And God wants to lead us into new things. And it's going to look different. And I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but we're going to have to let go of some things. I'm just going to mention a couple of things in closing. I've got this little book that I forget about, usually because I put it on a little shelf in my little study at home after I read through it. And it might be a year or two, I forget about it. But I pulled it out again recently. It's called The Fire of God's Presence, Powerful Lessons from the Hebrides Revival. And he talks about the Welsh revivals and the Hebrides revivals, which spread throughout England and much of Europe and then over to North America. But there's a couple of comments that I'll make for just this morning. One of them is this. This is talking about the Welsh revivals. This is back in 1904-ish. If you could stand above Wales, looking down on it, you would see the fire of God's presence breaking out here and there and everywhere without any human planning. It is a divine visitation in which God, let me say this reverently, in which God is saying to us, see what I can do without the things you are depending on. See what I can do through a praying people who are prepared to depend wholly and absolutely upon me. And I think with the spiritual state in North America, bringing it right down to a little old medicine hat, I think we've tried a lot of things in human effort that were very well intentioned, but we tend to abdicate just calling out to God and then stepping out in obedience and seeing what God will do. Depending wholly and absolutely upon God. And then the individual, Duncan Campbell, who God used to really stir up the revival in the Hebrides, which are apparently a little group of islands just off of Scotland. And that was in the 1940s. He said this, "When you return to America, rouse the people, tell them what God is doing. I believe every church can have what we are having in the Hebrides." And I'll tell you, what they had was amazing. And this is one of the things that challenges me. We talk about our political system, we talk about our financial system and everything else. And you know, it's okay to rally and talk to the government leaders and all of those kinds of things. That there's a place for that. But what began to happen in these little places and then bigger places, when the fire of heaven fell, and by the way, that particular revival started with two sisters in their 80s who were praying for someone to come and bring revival because the state of the church was dry and cold. They somehow, through this time, the prayer movement began to spread. And someone went to Duncan Campbell and said, "We want you to come." And he said, "First of all, no, I'm already engaged with other bigger things." But then the Spirit of the Lord said to him, see, he listened to the Spirit. He said, "No, Duncan, you go to the Hebrides." He said no to the other bigger opportunities. He turned and he went. The people, a small group of people, were already praying fervently. They were giving up a lot of things and time to get on their knees because they were desperate. Their society was desperate. And when revival broke out, the Spirit of God would descend over people. And people were convicted. Never been in church. No intention of going to church. There was one night where there was a whole group of people in front of the police station in the one town. Bewildered. Not knowing what to do because there was such a sense of conviction because they were afraid because of all the stuff in their lives that they knew was wrong. And eventually they would come and be led into meetings. Some of these churches, they'd be full every night, sometimes four services per night. And sometimes they would go into the wee hours of the morning. And a lot of that particular revival centered around repentance for sins. There's quite an emphasis on that. But out of that, 80 new hymns were written, all about the love of God. And how kind and good it is when God calls us to repentance, because repentance leads us to freedom and joy. See, our hands and our hearts are clean before God. There was a political leader who was supposed to speak at a political rally, and he didn't show up for the rally, so some of the other organizers looked all over for him, and he finally went to his house. They went into his house, a man who was not a godly man, not a church-going man, not a man of faith at all. They found him finally in his home on his knees, pouring out his sins before God. The spirit of conviction came over him, and he knew he had to change his life. Nobody preached to him. Nobody said, "You're a sinner, you got to change." It was the kindness of God who brought about revival in that man's life. And it was like that all over the place. So Duncan Campbell said this, "When you return to America," because lots of people came from all over the place, to experience what was going on in the 1940s. When you return to America, rouse the people, tell them what God is doing. I believe every church can have what we are having in the Hebrides. There is no mystery, but there is a secret. If God can find a people over there prepared to pay the price as they have over here, He will visit them in the same revival of power. And you know, the answer for the city of Medicine Hat is not in civic leaders, although we love our civic leaders and we pray for them. But they cannot bring down the power of heaven over a city that is overloaded with social cases in our city. Some of you know very much what that's like. We need a move of God. We need a move of the Holy Spirit to come and stir His church and then move out from there. And my dream is that River Valley Community Church is a people of God that is willing to say, okay, maybe it's time I need to forfeit some of my personal interests. And I need to put myself on the line and meet with God more fervently and invite His presence. And when I hear Him speaking to me, I do what I need to do. The Word of God says in the Psalms that who can ascend God's holy hill? Who can worship Him in His presence? They that have clean heart, clean hands and a pure heart. It's so simple. And yet there's things we need to let go of. God, would You call us to be on our knees before You? So in these next few weeks, we're going to be looking at what does it look like for us? And we'll do our best as spiritual leaders to encourage all of us to just get into shape spiritually. And I think it's the 10th of February, we have another worship and prayer day like we had a few months ago. We'll be doing this 4 times a year at least, where the focus of the morning is on worship and prayer. And my sense is that we will be praying a lot towards personal, corporate, and community/city revival, that God will be amongst us more and more, more powerful, more presence. More love, more grace. That His Spirit will descend on the city of Medicine Hat. And there's people that have been praying this for years all over this city. Maybe this is time. Maybe it's Medicine Hat's time to see a massive revival take place. And it begins with the church. Can you stand together with me? And if you're so inclined, if you want more and more of God's presence in your life, more of His power, more of His passion, bigger ears to hear Him better, and more boldness to step out in faith, to just serve Him, whatever that looks like, just raise your hands to the Lord this morning. I want to pray with you and over you and myself included. Father in heaven, this is Your church. These are Your people. We are Your children. We come here week after week to worship, to pray, to serve. And we leave from this place with hearts that earnestly desire to live for You. And I pray for these very precious people, as we're standing in this place with our hands raised, symbolically, that Father, we're giving our lives to You. And maybe we need to do this every day, every morning we wake up, just as a reminder. God, I give my life to You. I give my hands to you. I give my feet to you. Take me wherever you want me to go. Give me the courage to do whatever you want me to do. Lips to speak your ways wherever I go. Use me. Use me, Lord Jesus. And as I give myself to you, I require more of you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you fill me with your presence? Would you fill us more and more with your presence, Holy Spirit? Would you fill the people of River Valley Community Church more and more with your love and your grace, trusting in you more and more and more? And would you fill our conversations with your presence? Would you fill our coffee times with the expectation and conversation that you're doing something new and wondrous and amazing amongst us? And let it start with each one of us as individuals. And Father, would you show us if there's anything in our lives that will tether us to the same old, or tether us to a life that keeps our hands dirty and our hearts impure? Would you show us that out of your kindness so that we would repent of that and be released from that to a whole new cleanliness and desire for you, Lord God? We invite you to come in new and fresh ways in the power of heaven, because you have given to every one of us everything we need for life and godliness. And so even in these moments, as we close, Father, we say thank you. Thank you for the promises that you hold out for us. And thank you for that everything that you do give us. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Would you just lift your voice to the Lord and thank him and praise him for who he is and what he's doing in your life and what he's going to do in days ahead as well. We thank you and praise you, Jesus. We expect amazing things as we move out from here. We thank you for yesterday. Yesterday was amazing. We thank you for the last years. They've been amazing years. You've touched us in amazing ways. And we look expectantly to what you want to do in and through this body in days ahead, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. And now I'm going to say that same benediction that you started with, Pastor. And by the way, your voice finally changed. It was really deep and robust this morning. Do you have a bit of a cold or something? I don't know, but it sure sounded amazing. I was drawn to you this morning, and that was just powerful. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord make his countenance to fall upon you and give you his peace now and forever. In the name and the power of Jesus, amen and amen. The Lord bless you this week. Expect amazing things. Amen.